Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
Once the door is locked, there's no way out.
All right, now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former wide receiver Don Beebe. Let me give you some background on Don. He's from Aurora, Illinois, and he attended Caneland High School in Maple Park, Illinois, where he was a three-sport star lettering in track, basketball, and football. Started out his college career at Western Illinois University and later transferred to Chadron State in Nebraska, where he ran track and played football. Despite only being there for 1 year, he became the first person in school history to score a touchdown in every game. Danny Woodhead would later tie that record. He was also the first to score 5 touchdowns in a game. He set the school's single-season record for most touchdowns with 15, most points with 90, and most all-purpose yards with 1,663. In track, he set an NAIA District 11 record in the 60-yard dash. The Omaha Herald named him the 1989 State College Athlete of the Year. He was inducted into the Chadron State Athletic Hall of Fame in 2000, and the renovated football stadium is now named in his honor. He was invited to the combine, where he ran a 4.440, fastest among the receivers that year. He was a third-round pick, but the Bills' first pick in the 1989 draft. Played in the league from 1989 to 1987 for the Bills, Panthers, and Packers. He was a part of the Packers Super Bowl 31 championship team, and we are delighted he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Don, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good to be
fantastic.
Here.
Fantastic. Don, you're clearly a gifted athlete, three sports star in high school. You were equally as, I'm curious, were you equally as passionate about track, basketball, and football, and how did football ultimately win out for you?
Well, it might be funny to hear this, but I actually hated track, and I didn't like football too much because our school was awful at it. Our high school was awful. Never had a winning program in the history up until my senior year. And I actually, going into my senior year, asked my dad if I could just concentrate on basketball because that was kind of my first love. I just loved playing it. And my dad looked at me and he said, son, either you're going off of football or you're going off of cross country. So I stayed with the football thing and fell in love with it my senior year. We had a new coach that came in that year, and I just knew that that's what I wanted to do.
So, Don, how did you end up going from Western Illinois to Chadron State in Nebraska?
Yeah, that's a long story there, but I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest view of it. But when I came out of high school, I had the only school that gave me a full ride scholarship was Western Illinois. I went down there and I just wasn't ready for the college scene yet. So I left after the end of the 2-day camp, came back, to the Aurora, Illinois area, hometown and enrolled and played basketball there 1 year. And then after that year, I actually sat out of school for almost 3 years, just putting up aluminum siding on houses. And I got a call back from Western Illinois, and I found out that my eligibility clock had started, and I'd already lost 3 years. So I had 2 years left to play. I went back. For some reason, I didn't have enough credits to play, and so I didn't get to play that year. They told me I couldn't play, so I had to get credits at a JUCO, and got the credits from a JUCO, played then that final, or my last year at Western Illinois in 1987. And then that was it. And the reason I went to Chadron, it was NAI back then, 1988, it was an NAI school. So I could actually go to an NAI school and play another year. And some scouts, they timed me in the 40-yard dash when I was at Western and said they would love to see me play one more year of college football. And the reason I went to Chadron was the head coach at Chadron was the one that recruited me when he was at Western Illinois 5 years previous. So that's why I landed up way out there.
And Don, after all the stellar things that you achieved in college, you left early to enter the draft, but in 96, you go back, you took 21 credits, I read, in one semester, got all A's so you could graduate. And then in 2000, you go back, you get inducted into their Hall of Fame, and the football stadium gets named in your honor. Some incredible achievements, some incredible honors. What's it like going back there and having all of those things? Now you're a graduate, now you're in the Hall of Fame, and now you got a football stadium named after you.
Well, the people in Chadron are a lot like actually Western New York. I mean, just good, blue-collar, genuine people. you know, when I drove into Chatham the first time, I mean, and still do, I still go back there almost every year. People, you know, they wave to you. You know, when I'm from the Chicago area, people don't wave at you. they do other things. And I just really just, in a short period of time, just grew to love the character and just the blue collar people that were there. And that's what America to me is all about. And so I told them when I left there, because I was bebopping in out of school, I didn't have enough credits to transfer, or not transfer, but credit to graduate. And I got drafted. And I told them, I said, listen, I'm not going to finish my degree online. I'm not going to finish my degree in Buffalo where I'm going. I'm going to finish my degree here. Well, we kept going to Super Bowls. And when we kept going to Super Bowls, I couldn't get back to start the semester. So it wasn't until Carolina year, when I went to Carolina in 95, that I actually got the first time the opportunity to go back for the whole semester, and I got my degree, and I took all 21 hours, like you said, and I made a promise to them, and I just had that kind of relationship out there. But I will say, just they're having the grand opening on September 15th, and I'm going to, of the opening of the new stadium, and to have a stadium named after you guys is, I mean, it doesn't get any better now. What an honor that is.
Bob, questions for Don?
It's great to speak with you, Don. And we've had many track guys on this show before that have became really good NFL wide receivers, your J.J. Burdens, Eddie Kennisons, guys like that. And then you read about guys, Don, like your Ronaldo Nehemiahs, John Carlos is in the past, some guys that just don't make it. You know, you wonder if it's a combination of catching the ball. But talk more about track guys that just never made it. What's the difference between a guy like you that did make it?
Well, I it's hard for me to say things about myself, but from what I was told and heard from scouts and coaches, you know, to play, in the NFL, you got to be a tough guy. I mean, you just. Mm-hmm. You can be as fast as anything, and there's two things that I think guys that are really fast that don't make it is, A, they don't carry their pads very well, which means in shorts they're really fast, but then you get them into a game, and now they're carrying pads, and then they got to think about, you know, this and getting off the line and running and all that, and then make a tough third down catch, whatever it is, they seem to play a lot slower than what they time. And then the other thing is they're just scared to death. I mean, you can see them when they come into camp, you know, they're just, they can't catch a ball. They struggle, with the mental part of the game. And then they're just not mentally tough enough to, you know, catch that ball across the middle and get, you know, get waxed and get up and go to the next play. So I think it was just the way I was raised and the coaches that I had, you know, it was just, you know, I enjoyed that part of the game. To be honest with you, I was just blessed to be able to run, you know. So I love the physical part of football, and I think the guys that last that long, you just have to, you know.
And Don, take us back to the 89 draft. Chris had mentioned that you were the first draft pick of the Bills, but in the third round, remember that day? Tell us about it, and did you have any inkling you might be headed to Buffalo?
I really thought it was going to be the New York Jets. Thank God that didn't happen. I'm just messing around with Jets fans, but I remember the day like it was yesterday, guys. And seriously, we just sat there, and I wasn't. I see these guys, you know, on draft day now. You know, when you're watching it's a spectacle now, and I'm just so baffled how they get so worked up. And if they don't, you know, if they're the 13th pick and they didn't go in the top three, they're upset. And I'm like, are you serious? Or, you know, listen, you just got to love to play the game and just get over yourself and just go out and enjoy it. And whatever gets handed to you anyway is a gift, and feel blessed that you get to even play this great game anyway. So that's how I felt. I really didn't really at that point, I really didn't care where it was. I didn't know when I was. A lot of people told me I was going to be second to fourth round. So I was like, okay, great. I wasn't nervous. Shoot, I went fishing that day. But I will say this. I do remember this, that when Marv Levy called me, Coach Levy, and I was on the phone with him I was moved emotionally. I was just like, what an honor this is, you know, to have, you know, a Hall of Fame coach, you know, calling me and to come from where I came from now, and being the team's first pick in the NFL. I mean, that's why I've been approached by many of people that want to do, you know, a movie on it. And I already have a book written about it. It's just a crazy story. And it gives me a great platform today, guys, to tell kids to never give up, to tell kids to keep working hard and great things will happen. And, you know, and put others first instead of yourself. And those are the lessons I've learned from some great people through my life.
And Don, I want to take that a step further, because I can't imagine that Marv Levy drafted you based on speed alone. I mean, everyone wants speed. You can't coach speed. We hear all that sort of thing. But I got to believe that there was something more about what Marv Levy saw in you outside of that that got you drafted by the Bills. Do you have a sense for what that was?
Sure. I know what it was. It was a guy by the name of Nick Nicolau. Nick Nicolau was the wide receiver coach in Buffalo at that time. And Coach Nick came, you know, God rest his soul, he's not here anymore, but he came out to Shadron, and that wasn't an easy task to do in itself, just to get to that place. But he put me through a workout. He sat down, he talked to me, he talked to the coach, you know, the Coach Smith, who was the head, you know, coach out there then. And, you know, and he just started to learn the history of me, and you know, and he heard stories like, for example, you know, we drove a bus from Shadron all the way out to Montana, Carroll College, which is out in Helena, Montana. It's like a 15-hour bus ride. And in that game, I actually came across the middle, kind of like the pogo stick Cleveland playoff game, and I landed on my head, and it fractured my neck, my throat. So my larynx was fractured, and air was leaking out in my neck, and I looked like a frog. Believe it or not, I could actually see my throat looking down. I mean, imagine that.
Wow.
So, and the point of the whole story was that I finished the game. And the next week, I was told the doctors, you're not going to play. You're crazy if you're playing. What do you think? And I suited up the next week and had, you know, 7 catches, 150 some yards, and 2 touchdowns. You know, so it was like, I think when Nick heard stories like that, and he would tell, you know, Coach Levy and Polian and those guys and John Butler, and he'd say, hey, look, you know, this guy can not only run, I mean, this kid's a tough kid. And he's a football player. He's not just a track guy. So I think that that kind of got around through Coach Nick. And from the story that I heard, and this came from Bill Polian, he said that on draft day, I was still on the board when their pick came up in the third round. And they called Coach Nick. He was in his office. And they said, BB's still on the board. Should we take him? And he said, you'd be a fool not to. So, you know, I don't say that about myself. I just say that was the guy. I mean, Coach Nick was really the one that kind of sold me, and I just, you know, couldn't thank him enough.
Don, I want to talk about a couple of the more famous games that you got to be a part of. First being the incredible comeback that you guys had against the Oilers in 92 in the playoffs. And you guys go into halftime, you're down 28-3. You come out, Reich throws a pick six to start the second half. It's 35-3. Did that actually help you guys play a little bit looser? Because, look, you know, down 28-3, then 35-3. Like, this game's over. Let's just go have some fun. Or did you guys still think you had a chance in the second half?
We went into halftime, and, you know, Darryl Talley was kind of our leader, and he was just, you know, he was screaming at us, and he was like, yeah, you know, if they scored 28, we can score 28, blah, 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 and nobody's really listening. And, you know, and Tasker was right next to me in the locker, and, you know, Tasker says, Beavs, where are we going golfing next week? You know, and not that we were quitting or anything, because we would never quit, but, you know, it was just kind of the mentality. And so we go out there, and, you know, like, and Frank kind of, you know, Frank really wasn't a rah-rah guy, but, you know, he led by example, but he would pace. I remember he was pacing, and he was coming out and said, guys, listen, we got the ball first. Let's just go out and just, you know, let's just make plays and see what happens. Okay, great. Third play or fourth play, pick six, Bubba McDowell. You know, so now we come to the sideline. We're down 35-3, and, you know, God, we're getting killed. It's just an awful way to go out. And those were the thoughts that was going through my head. This is an awful way to go out in front of these fans here in Buffalo. And Frank kept pacing. I mean, it was to the point where you almost wanted to say, Frank, sit down, shut up. You know, it's over. You know, but no, Frank just kept going. I mean, there was something about Frank that day, and he was my roommate. So, I mean, I knew kind of the inside story with him, and he just had something that he was dealing with, that morning. I remember talking to him. He said, man, something crazy is going to happen. well, how do you know that? You know, and then the way it all unfolded, and he just stayed positive. And sure enough, things start falling our way. But I've never, in all my days through coaching and through playing, has ever seen the momentum change that drastically at any sport, at any level, like it did that day. It was something that was crazy to be a part of.
And Don, one of the plays that you're most famous for is running down Leon Lett in the Super Bowl and batting the ball out mm-hmm. of his hands before he crosses the goal line. And that game was already out of hand at that point. It would have been easy for anyone just to have given up and watched Leon, you know, pile on another touchdown, but you didn't. What was it inside you that said, I'm not letting this happen?
Well, I mean, for people that know me personally, they know that I have a very strong faith. And I played the game not for me, and you know, I played it for him, you know, and I've done that ever since I was just a little boy when I knew I wanted to play football and wanted to play for him and glorify him instead of myself. And so honestly, what happened that day was before that game started, I went out an hour before the game, and it was just a beautiful day in Pasadena. I mean, and this was the place when I grew up as a young boy in the backyard. This was the place I always wanted to play. It was Pasadena. And here I'm living that dream. And I was thinking, golly, I'm here, Lord. This is great, you know. And I just remembered praying at the 50-yard line. I said, Lord, let me glorify your name today more than mine. And I, you know, I don't care about me. I just wanted to glorify your name. So it, honestly, selfishly, I got up and I started walking back to the locker room. And I thought to myself, I'm going to win this game. I'm going to score the touchdown. That's going to, with no time on the clock, make this J.J. Jefferson catch in the back of the end zone with my feet tiptoed, one-hand stab. And that was what I was thinking. I mean, I felt awesome, you know. But no, we get smoked, and I'm known for running Leon down in a 52-17 blowout. And the reason I bring that up is if I would have scored the touchdown, like I just said, it would never had near the impact that the Leon Lett play had. And the reason is because people can imagine, but they can't live that the J.J. Jefferson catch in the back of the end zone. They know they could never do that, but yet everybody can live the Leon Lett play. Everybody. And no matter where I go, no matter whom I talk to, it doesn't matter if I'm in an airport, a restaurant, or I'm publicly doing a speaking engagement somewhere around the country, people always want to hear about that play. And it's given me such a great platform to teach people that I never give up, no matter what we do in life. And I think that that's the great story behind the story. But that's truly how I felt that day, guys.
And Don, you would go on to play a couple of seasons in Green Bay, and you would win a Super Bowl. And I remember seeing you interviewed. And you were excited, of course, you know, to win a Super Bowl and to get a ring. But it almost appeared to me like part of you was a little uncomfortable because – you got the ring, and all of those guys in Buffalo, after all of those years, didn't. Was that win a little bittersweet for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember standing on the field. I was a safety guy, 10 yards behind Favre when he was taking a knee. You know, just in case something crazy happened. And I remember looking up at the clock and just watching that last 10 seconds tick down. And when it went off, my first thoughts were, you know, Brett gave me the game ball. He handed me the game ball. It was kind of cool. But my thoughts as I was walking off the field was like, gosh, man, I felt guilty. I mean, it was almost like anticlimactic for me. Yet I was very excited, you know, to win a Super Bowl in a Packer uniform. And it's iconic, you know. But yet I felt for all the guys and all the fans and Marv Levy and Bill Paul, all those people back in Buffalo that, you know, why me? Why am I the guy? I mean, why isn't Jim out here or some Thurman or somebody else? You know, why is it me? And then the phone calls that I got, you know, we didn't have texting back then, but the phone calls, you know, on my Miami Vice phone I had back then, just flooded in. I mean, everybody was calling me, Beebs, man, we're so happy for you. And, you know, and it was just overwhelming. And it was still today. I just get, you know, just thinking about it. Why me? But, you know, I'm just glad somebody from that team got to experience it, and because they all deserved it. And but what a moment that was for me.
Bob, one more for Don before we let him go.
Yeah, and I have to ask you, speaking of toughness, Don, Jim Kelly, you get the chance to play with the Hall of Famer, and I always considered him a tough guy. We always heard him, you know, playing in the toughness of Buffalo and doing what he did and getting to all the Super Bowls. And, of course, he's gone through a lot of adversities last few years. I was just wondering if you've had a chance to stay in touch with him and stay on top of what he's been up to.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw him a couple weeks ago, and I got to spend some, you know, quality one-on-one time with him. We got to talk for about an hour in this room while there's a big party going on. We were just kind of off in this room. But let me just say this about Jim. First of all, I love that guy. I mean, I'm honored to be able to play with such a great man. He is probably one of the most, if not the most loyal person I've ever met. And the reason I say that is, and I'll just give you just a brief story, is as soon as I won the Super Bowl with the Pack, 1 month later, I lost one of my best friends in a car accident from high school. He got hit by a drunk driver and shoved into the trunk of his car, and he got killed. And he had two small boys, a two-year-old and a two-month-old, and he was big on education. So I wanted to put together an event, and I thought about doing a, you know, football camp, and I wanted to just call just a couple of guys, you know, to come in and raise as much money as I could for these two small boys for their college fund. So the first person I call is Jim. And Jim's like, oh, Beeps. He says, man, I'm gonna be in Miami, you know, on that day. He said, you know, let me call you back in just a few minutes. I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes later, and Jim calls me back and says, look, Beeps, here's the deal. I'm going to fly back a day early back to Buffalo, catch the next plane out the next morning, and I'm going to be there. I mean, who does that? You know, if you're not just a great, loyal guy, because I got a lot of other friends that would never have done that. And that's the kind of guy Jim is. I mean, he is, guys, I wish you could know him if you don't. And he's battling this and he's, everything you hear about Kelly Tough, I mean, it's not even close to really what he is, because he is one of the toughest individuals I've ever met. And he's just keep battling this, man. But he's just, like you said, he's going through another surgery, just had another one, a week ago or so. And I think he's going to have another one coming up, just reconstructing his whole jaw. And hopefully they got it all again this time and that it never comes back. So that's what I feel about Jim Kelly.
Don, before we let you go, let our listeners know what you're doing now.
Well, I'm doing a lot of things. First, I do a lot of public speaking. I go all around the country and I talk to different groups, no matter what it is, be it a business or just some event or, you know, churches, whatever it is. I love doing that. I've been a high school football coach for 14 years. I'm actually taking this year off to watch my two girls that are going to be a senior in high school and a senior in college. I'm going to watch their last years of volleyball play. And then I'm going to go back into college next year and I'm going to go coach at I'm not sure if it's going to be at the college level or what, but it won't most likely be high school. But I want to go to the college level and coach for another 15, 20 years. So I also have a business, House of Speed, that I've had for 20 years. I train a bunch of athletes from Robert Quinn to Michael Turner to Tony Romo. So I've trained a lot of different people through the years, but I'm actually in the process of actually selling House of Speed by the end of this year. And then go into coaching full time. So that's what I'm doing.
Great.
Don, how can our listeners stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing, whether it's following you online or it's over social media?
Yeah, donbeebe.com is the easiest place to go. I mean, if you for speaking engagements or different things that I'm doing, donbeebe.com is the best way, or houseofspeed.com if it's training question or something of that nature. That's probably the two best ways to get a hold of me.
Well, Don, it has been a huge privilege for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you tonight. We hope you'll come back and join us again sometime. So many other things we wanted to get your thoughts and insights on. You're fantastic.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Anytime you want to call me, you just let me know, and I'll jump on the show with you.
Well, thanks for coming.
We appreciate it. Take care, Don.
Thanks,
all the best.
Thanks,
to you and your family. Hopefully we catch up soon.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
That's the great Don Beebe, Bob. And boy, you want to talk about a guy that has just experienced so much. And it just, you know, college level, what he did in the pros, and then, you know, what he's doing after, you know, after that. Wow. What a fantastic. I lost track of time. I think it's been about 30 minutes we got to spend with him, but not nearly enough. Hopefully we get to do it again real soon.
Joe Skin. You can see why he's an in-demand speaker, Chris. A million stories and just very eloquent in everything he does. And can't wait to have him on again.
Yeah, neither can I. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony on the other side of this quick station break.